So your research was really exhaustive. There are tremendous details about this. Talk about the process of doing the research. And
I was feeling like, I mean, when I write a book, I will write a book that's 250 pages long or 200 pages long, but I will have read probably, I don't know, 6,000 pages of research, not only doing research, going to museums and so on, but reading. And I'm always frustrated with myself that I can't seem to do this faster and I can't seem to assimilate it more quickly. But in fact, a friend of mine who's a writer once said to me, you have to know the iceberg and only give the readers the tip. So that if the reader senses the iceberg under the tip, they will believe your story. And so that's where I forgive myself for taking so long to assimilate all the different bits of research so that when I put what I put in the book, it's just enough so the reader understands, wow, she really does know what she's talking about.
And it also, it's more than that. It brings a kind of emotional depth.
Yes, exactly, an emotional depth. And it helps me get to that emotional depth if I'm really living in a very real way, the life that Grace was living, then I can really feel what she felt. In terms of Grace, every metaphor she uses comes from the mill, comes from what she knows, not from anything else. So she's constantly, she makes the spinning frame her best friend. She refers to mill terms when she's doing metaphor. And that, I think, is what gives the book its depth. But I wouldn't know all of that if I hadn't done all the research. As somebody I love to say about historical fiction, I'm not saying that it happened. I'm saying that it could have happened.
And actually, you went beyond the character to find out who Grace was in reality. Tell us what you found.
So after I finished the story of Grace, all I knew about the picture that had inspired the story was that the girl was named Addie. Some people thought her name was Addie Laird. Some people just said, and one of the captions that you'll find in the Library of Congress website with Lewis Hines pictures from North Pownall, it says, anemic little cotton spinner. Well, I suddenly thought, if I didn't go look for this girl, I was a little bit like the mill owners. I had used her face, I had created a story, but I hadn't found her. She was probably published in 100 books. It is a famous photograph. She's been used in 1998 on a postage stamp. She was used in a Reebok ad, but nobody knew who she was. So I managed to go to the National Archives Records Administration in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and I worked with a program which you can now get on your computer called Ancestry.com. And you can type in 1910, North Pownall, Vermont, Addie. Nothing came up. Then I tried Adeline, and finally I got something with Adelaide. And it turned out to be her grandmother. So Adelaide Harris's granddaughter, Addie, lived with her from the age of 2. And Addie worked in that mill from the age of 8 until she was 22. She was married. She had a child who she had to give away because she couldn't take care of that child.
And tell us, Give us the time.
The time frame is she was born in 1898. She started working in the mill probably in 1906. And she got married when she was 17 in 1915. And she left the mill probably in the 1920s. And she remarried. She had a whole life. Addie lived to the age of 94. And when you see this picture, you cannot believe she survived. She was one tough little girl, and she lived long enough to meet her great-great-granddaughter. So I never met Addie because she had died in 1993, but I met her great-granddaughter, her granddaughter-in-law, and they never knew about this picture. Addie never knew her picture was famous. And I asked them, did she ever talk about a man coming in with a funny box and putting it up on a tripod? They said, no, she never talked about that. She talked about other things I had found out, such as her little cousin Rosa, burned up and died from playing with matches. She remembers, she talked about her grandfather dying. She talked about the soapbox they put her on, how much she hated the mill. So it was an amazing thing. It came full circle that I found her. And her name was not Laird. It was Addie Card. So there is a billboard, a historical marker, at the place where the mill stood, and they had her name wrong. It said 12-year-old Annie Laird. And I contacted the Environmental Protection Agency. It put up the billboard because they'd taken the mill down, and they changed it. So now you go to North Powell, Vermont, off Route 346, and her name is Addie Card, and it's been corrected. So I feel as if I justified all of that. I came full circle.
It sounds like you were really, in some way, obsessed by her.
Yeah, I really was. I was kind of haunted by Addie. Once I'd told Grace a story, and they were really two different kids. I mean, Grace had a mother and a father and a grandfather and a brother and a sister. She had an intact family, tough as her mother was. They loved her. And I thought I had created a really tough situation. Addie's was much worse. Her mother died when she was two, probably of peritonitis. She lived with her grandmother, who she was adored. Her father was an alcoholic and ran away from the family, abandoned her. She lived with her sister and four other abandoned and orphaned grandchildren. It was a very, very rough life. She divorced her first husband. So I could never have imagined that tough a life for her. And I felt like it was somehow my job to restore her. To you know, she would have been lost in the sort of dustbin of history. She's just a picture. Mr. Hine told her story, and he once said, if I could tell the story in words, I wouldn't need to lug around a camera. So I feel as if Lewis Hine told the story in a picture, and I told the story in words, that we were almost partners in bringing this girl to life.
I'm talking with Elizabeth Winthrop about her book, Counting on Grace. She's the author of numerous books for younger readers as well as for adults. One last point, though, on your search for Addie, and that is there was a point, you say, where a book fell open just at the right place.
That's a wonderful story. So after I found Addie's entry in the National Archives and I had her dates and I knew she was in North Pownall, I went to the Pownall town office where the clerk has all the records. And I looked through everything. And I found her birth certificate. I found her mother's death certificate. But I couldn't find her after a certain time. She wasn't in the 1920 census. I'd found her in 1910. So what happened to her? Well, with girls, when they marry, you can lose them in the census because, of course, they change their names. Well, so I was giving up. I said, okay, I've done my best. And I then was walking out and gathering up my stuff. And there was a very nice woman in the clerk's office who said, you know, I have one more place to look. And she went way back into the vault, and I heard her scream. And she came running out with this enormous book, Births, Marriages, Deaths. And she said, I swear Addie thought you were leaving. And she pushed this book off the shelf. And it opened to her marriage certificate. And it said, Addie Card married Edward Hatch in 1915. And they were both 17-year-old spinners in the cotton mill. And I thought, that's it. She doesn't want me to give up. It, you know, until I found out every single thing I could about her, she just kept haunting me.
That's a wonderful story. Now, you've written a number of different books. None of them have really been on this topic. Have they been on other topics of kind of social conscience for young people?
I did. I wrote a book called Dear Mr. President, Letters from a Milltown Girl. And it was about a little girl named Emma Bartoletti. And it's not unlike Counting on Grace in that Emma was a created character. And she wrote letters to Franklin Delano Roosevelt during the Great Depression from the town of North Adams. Her parents worked in the mills. She was an Italian immigrant. And it was 20 years after Addie would have worked in the mills. And it was where I first became interested in the mill life of New England. And wow, Here, her parents worked in the mills. What if she had had to work in the mills? And that's what started me down this road. I've also done a novel called In My Mother's House, which was published in the late 80s, which is about three generations of American women, also based in New York and New England. I've also done quite a fantasy novel called The Castle in the Attic, which quite a few people have heard of because it's taught in a lot of the schools. But it's fantasy. It's not fiction. I mean, it's not historical fiction. But there is a diagram of a castle, and you learn about a moat and a portcullis. And I did a sequel to that called The Battle for the Castle. And those books have actually been optioned by Walden for the movies. So I really do wander all over the place when I'm writing. But Addie has actually inspired what I'm working on now, which is my mother is from Gibraltar, which is extremely rare. And she married my father. She met him during the war in England. My father was in the British Army. And I've never told my mother's story. And I am now really looking into her story and the whole history of her family. And searching for Addie taught me how to look for somebody like that, how to look through historical records. And it's been a fascinating search. So I can really see how Addie led me to Grace and led me to my mother. It's a kind of an odd circle, but true.
That's great. Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you.